Open your Bibles now to Ephesians 1. This chapter 1 begins with Paul's salutation. He said, "This is Paul." God used men to write the scriptures. Prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament. And Paul was a special apostle to the Gentiles. God chose him to bear his name to us Gentiles. And he said, "I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." And note carefully to whom he's writing. This is so important that we not only find out who's speaking, but to whom. And he says, "I'm writing to the saints." The saints are not those who are made saints by a special act of a denomination because of some great accomplishment here on the earth, but every believer is a saint. Every believer is a saint sanctified by God the Father, sanctified through the blood of the Son, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and our Lord said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." This is an epistle to the saints, and he identifies them further. He says, "I'm writing by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful." The saints are faithful. They're people who believe Christ. They continue to believe Christ. And like the patriots of old, they'll die believing Christ. These all died in the faith. So this chapter 1 is not addressed to everybody out there in the world and in religion. It's addressed to special, particular people. By the will of God, Paul is an apostle writing to the saints at Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So, I'm going to apply this scripture to myself and you are to yourself. We must fit this requirement. We're saints. We're believers. And his salutation continues. He said, "Grace be to you." Well, they're already objects of grace, for by grace were they saved. If they hadn't already been made objects of the grace of God, they wouldn't be saved. But Paul is praying that that grace may be multiplied, and that grace might grow, that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. They're already have peace with God. "My peace I give unto you," he said. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But we don't have as much peace as we want. We have peace with God, that's secure, but peace in the heart, peace with other people, peace in believing. So all grace grows. All grace grows. So that's what he's saying. More grace be unto you. Multiplied grace be unto you, and peace from the only source of grace, from God the Father. Mike gave that this morning as the benediction. "Now the God of all grace, after you have suffered a while, establish you and settle you and perfect you." He's the God of all grace. If we have any grace at all, it'd be from him. From God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verses 3 through verse 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the work of the Father in redeeming these saints and faithful believers. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's our Father. Our Lord said one time to his disciples, "I go to my Father and your Father." He's our Father through Christ and because of Christ. And Paul blesses the Father here because he's blessed us. He said, "Blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." If we're saints, he's blessed us. If we're in Christ Jesus, he's blessed us. He's blessed us to be in Christ Jesus. It's of God that I'm in Christ Jesus. You see that? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus and the faithful, in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, what are these spiritual blessings? They're not temporal blessings. They're not earthly material blessings. They're heavenly blessings. Heavenly blessings. Justification. Justified in Christ. Sanctification. Righteousness and redemption. Of God are you, saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us all we need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's blessed us. He has already blessed us. This is not future blessings. This is present blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath already blessed us. All that heaven requires, he's given us. All that heaven demands, he hath given us. All that heaven commands, we have in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. He that hath the Son hath life already. All right, look at the next verse. According as he hath chosen us, the Father chose us, and he chose us in Christ. We're saints and faithful in Christ. The Father hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he chose us in Christ before the world began. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us in Christ. Now, 'tis not that I did choose thee. Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. Our Lord said to his disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. One of the hymn writers said, chosen, not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, quickened by the Savior's grace, in his side perfected, made holy. We're chosen in Christ. Turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's elect, and we are elected in him. Christ be my first elect, God said, and chose us in Christ our head. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, he says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Christ, he's God's elect. And God has chosen us in Christ. In Christ. Now, another scripture I want you to look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a special people. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we're bound, Paul said, to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Notice to whom he's speaking. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. And we give thanks to God because God hath chosen you. God, from the beginning, chosen you, hath chosen you to salvation. Not to service, to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, God has chosen you. And he chose you, now watch this next line in Ephesians 1. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, everything we need. Paul said in another scripture, we're already fit, made fit, qualified, meet is the word, M-E-E-T. We're made meet for the inheritance of the saints. In other words, if I, by God's will, drop dead right now, fall to the floor, my body's dead, my spirit goes to be with God. Or you, we go straight into glory. Christ said to the thief, today you with me, you're going to be with me in paradise. He doesn't need any polishing or changing or alternations. He's fit. He's sufficient. God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We already have them in Christ. We're seated in Him at the right hand of God. He's our forerunner. He's the forerunner of every believer. And we're sufficient, qualified in Christ. I got a letter from a friend of mine this week. It upsets me sometimes. I wonder if people hear what we're preaching. This dear friend has listened to me for years. He gets my tapes, and he wrote me a letter. He's 80 years old. I'm put out with him. I'm going to write him this week. I'm put out. I'm upset. He wrote me a letter, and he said, I'm 80 years old now, and the time is short. I'm worried about the judgment. I'm worried about the judgment. I wonder how I'm going to fare at the judgment. It says we're all going to stand before the judgment of God. And he heard anything? There is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ. No judgment. Who is he that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's justified us. Who can condemn us? Christ died. Isn't that sufficient? I'm not going to the judgment. And neither is any other believer. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ, that we should be what? Holy. Right now, in Christ. Holy, without blame. What in the world are they going to have a judgment to try me if I'm holy? I don't have anything for which to answer. He answered it at Calvary. Paid the debt. We believe that? I've got to ask my friend, don't you believe that? You mean you're going to stand at the judgment? For what will God try you? For what will God judge you? For what will God Almighty test you? You're going to be tested? You wonder how you're going to do? I'll tell you now how you're going to do. You're going to fail. David said, Lord, don't bring me into judgment with you. Don't bring me into judgment with you. I know how you'll do. I know how you'll do. You perish at the presence of the God before whom he stands if he's not perfect in Christ Jesus. We're already holy. He chose us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings because he chose us in Christ Jesus. That we should be holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. In his sight. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. Adoption of children. You see, this word predestination is in the Bible four times. Twice here. Twice here. One, verse 11 and verse 5 here. And then over here, if you'll turn to Romans 8, it's over here in Romans 8 twice. And every time it has to do with what we're going to be. What we're going to be. Well, let's see what it says here in verse Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, children of God. God has predetermined that those whom he chose are going to be his children. Like which child? Like which son? All right, Romans 8. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See that? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Election, the choice. God, blessed be the God and Father. He's given us everything we need, all that heaven requires. Even as he chose us in Christ Jesus, chose us. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Gave Christ to us as our surety and our redeemer and our righteousness and all we need. Having predestinated us to the adoption of sons, to be sons of God. Beloved, now are we sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be chosen and made sons that we should be sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but right now we're sons of God. But I tell you what we're going to, when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. Like Him. That's right. Now watch this. According to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, you start where you are. God's blessed me. I stand before you and you sit out there blessed of God. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus. Your name written in the book of life. All sins put away. Forgiven. Righteous before God. Holy. How come you got this? According as He chose me. He chose me to that end. He chose to save me. He chose me to salvation. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. You see that? He chose me to salvation. Take a step back. Why'd He do that? Why'd He choose any of us? That we might be conformed to the image of His Son. That Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. That heaven might be populated with a holy, righteous, perfect people. Every one of them just like His Son. Loving what He loves. Enjoying what He enjoys. Being made like Him in spirit, attitude, motive, and everything. Just like Christ. Predestinated. Before I was born, my members were written in that book. Yours were too. That's what David said. Before I was ever born, my members were written in His book. He knew them all. I knew thee before you was born, He said. You're going to be like Christ. I predestinated that. Predetermined it. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. I've never taken a step in this world that wasn't ordered by God. Why'd He do that? Because He willed to, according to the good pleasure of His will. What my will is His will. It's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. We're born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, born of God. The word free will is in the Bible. 17 times. Not every 16 of them is talking about free will offerings. 16 of the 17 times, or either 13 of the 14 or 16 of the 17, talking about free will offerings. The only time it has anything to do with a decision that somebody makes is in Ezra chapter 7, where it says, of your own free will, you can go up to Jerusalem or you can stay home. Our free will got us where we are in the mess we're in. The free will of God got me out of it. Now, so if you want to start where you are, He's blessed me. He's blessed us, you too. When I say me, I mean you too. Because He chose to do it. And He chose to do it that He might have a heaven and a new earth populated with a people like Christ. Just like the Lord Jesus. And He did that because He willed to do it. Now, if you want to start back there when all of this was planned and purposed, you start back here with the will of God. Before the foundation of the world, He willed to have a people. And then He says they're going to be like Christ. And then He chose them in Christ. And then Christ came down here and suffered and died for them, and He called them. Now, that's so. Why did He do all this? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why He did it, that God may be glorified. Of God are you in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Over here in Revelation 7, it talks about this great multitude in glory. And it says in Revelation 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. All wore the same thing, palms of victory. They cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Now here's a sevenfold blessing. blessings, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto whom? Unto our God, forever and ever. Everything he does is for his glory. Where in verse 6, Ephesians 1, he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, my friends, that can't be questioned or doubted. Did you choose God or did he choose you? He chose you. When did he choose you? Now, people say, when I believe. That's not what Scripture says. You believe because he chose you. He didn't choose you because you did anything. You believe because he chose you. He chose us before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? That we should be holy. That we should be like his son. That he would have a people in glory, all clothed in white robes of righteousness, praising his name. That's right. Why did he do all this? According to the good pleasure of his own will. Our Lord Jesus, in Matthew 11, let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 11. He says here in Matthew 11, 25. He says, in 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. That's the answer. It seemed good in his sight, according to his will. Now, the next few verses, you have the work of the Son in our redemption. He says, in verse 7, well, verse 6, he made us accepted. Now watch this, not acceptable, accepted. We have eternal life. We have the spiritual blessing. We are sons of God. We are made holy. We are accepted. I didn't accept him. He accepted me. There's a difference. I received Christ. I believed Christ, but I didn't accept him. He wasn't up for acceptance or rejection. He accepted me and the beloved in Christ. All right, watch this. In whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption already. He has redeemed us through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. Turn to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Listen to this. Verse 11. Leviticus 17. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of your flesh is in your blood. You can go to a doctor and he can give you a blood test and he can find out if there's something wrong with you, a disease, it shows in the blood. If they take your blood out of your body, you're dead. Or if your blood becomes infected, you're dead. The life of your flesh is in the blood. But also the life of your soul is in the blood, but not in yours. Listen to what he says here. I've given the blood to you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Blood is precious, but it's not as precious as his blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us with his blood. He bought us back. We had a price on our head, justice and the law had a price on us because of our sin. Christ paid the price. He redeemed us. How? By blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We have redemption through his blood. Not only that, but we have the forgiveness of sins. The Son has redeemed us. The Son has forgiven us. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And this is a total forgiveness. This is not a conditional forgiveness. It's a total forgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering, often offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, this God-man, after he'd offered one sacrifice, one sacrifice, what? His blood for sin, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected forever by one sacrifice, one offering, his blood. Perfected. Listen. While the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. No more. He hath redeemed us, forgiven us. We have no sin. Absolutely, in Christ there is no sin, no charge. Well, read on. Not only is he redeemed us and forgiven us of sins according to the riches of his grace, but he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's the wisdom of God. Here's the question that was before the prophets of old. How can man be just with God? How can he, born of a woman, be clean? Behold, the moon, it shineth not. The stars are not pure in God's sight. How can man, who drinks iniquity like the water, be holy, clean, perfect in God's sight? That's the question. Well, the wisdom of God answers it by substitution, by Christ coming down here, God. Now, man can suffer, but man can't satisfy. God can satisfy, but God can't suffer. So Christ Jesus came down here, the God-man, in the flesh, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. And he was tempted and tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. And by his obedience, he perfected a righteousness in our place instead. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made in him God's righteousness. He went to the cross and paid the debt. So he fulfilled by his obedience God's law, and he satisfied by his blood God's justice, and it's paid for. We're righteous, we're forgiven. And it's done wisely. It's done so that God can be just, both just and justified. That takes the wisdom of God. Man never thought that of. That's of God. The wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. By power, he redeemed us through wisdom. And then verse 9, now he's redeemed us, the Son. He's forgiven our sins. He's dealt with God in wisdom and prudence. And he's made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Let me show you one verse that will help you with that scripture. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Listen to this. 1 John 5, 20. He hath made known to us this eternal mystery, how God can be just and justified, according to his good pleasure, which is purposed in himself. Look at verse 20, 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God is come, and he hath given to us, who are so dumb and ignorant in our natural state, but he's given us a heavenly understanding. He hath abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. He hath made known unto us his will. He hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This, my friend, is the true God, and this, my friend, is eternal life. It cannot be comprehended nor understood nor entered into unless through Christ you see all of this accomplished and fulfilled by him. Father, I've finished the work you gave me to do. Here it is, to redeem us, to forgive us, to give us a righteousness, perfect standing before the law and justice, and to do it in wisdom and prudence, to satisfy God Almighty's righteousness, and to make known to us in a revelation of himself the very glory of God. It's not a religious decision. This is a godly miracle. He made known to me these things that angels desire to look into. Watch this now, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when all this is over, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. He's redeemed us, he's forgiven us, he's enlightened us, he's illuminated our minds, and he's enriched us, in whom we have, verse 11, obtained an inheritance. You're looking, and I'm looking, at an heir of God. An heir of God, all that God has. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's a son, my natural essence. He's one with the Father. I'm a son by adoption. That's right. I'm a son by adoption who was not a son by nature, a son by adoption. But I'm just as much an heir as he is, because I'm a joint heir with him. Now that's so. I know that's incomprehensible by these natural minds, but I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. You are too. He has given us an inheritance because we've been predestinated according to the perfect purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will to be sons. Who's your heir? Your son. Your son by your wife and your adopted son, too. He's your heir, too. That's right. But they're the only heirs. Your son and daughter. Your offspring. And I'll tell you who God's heirs are. His children. He predestinated us to be children. That's what predestination. Just get this in your mind. Election has to do with people. He chose us in Christ. But predestination has to do with what those people are going to be. He's predetermined they're going to be like Christ, sons of God and heirs of God. And we're already sons of God and heirs of God. And look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. The Father, did you notice when I got through with those verses about the Father's work, it says to the praise of his glory. And then when we read here about the Son, who has redeemed us and forgiven us and dealt with us in wisdom and enlightened us and revealed God to us and enriched us, made us sons of God, why did he do it? To the praise of the glory of his grace. How'd you get in on this? Well, look at verse 13. Here's the work of the Holy Spirit, in whom you trusted. After you heard the word of truth. I'll tell you, by the word of God, we're quickened. By the word of God, we're made alive. By the word of God, we hear the truth. By the word of God, we're taught the truth. And we believe when we hear the word. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him with whom they've not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? So you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit quickened us. The Holy Spirit brought the gospel to us. And the Holy Spirit sealed us. Sealed us. He is our pledge. Look at verse 14. He's the pledge of our inheritance until. I only need this pledge for until the redemption of the precious possession to the praise of his glory, until the revelation of God's sons, until all this that God has given to us becomes ours in reality. I hate to say use that word, but faith's going to give way to experience. And hope's going to give way to reality. It says that over here in Romans 8. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8 chapter, verse 22. It says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we are ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for what? the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And that's what it says in verse 13, 14, in whom you trusted after you heard the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth, in whom after you believed you were sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, sealed in Christ. And that Holy Spirit is the earnest, the pledge, the token who abides with you. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. The fact you believe this is evidence you're a child of God. The fact that this is a cause of rejoicing to you is evident that you're a child of God. These are proofs. These are evidences. The fact that you can enter in with some understanding to this gospel of God's grace is proof you're a child of God. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness. And this will go on until the redemption of the purchased possession, under the full revelation of the sons of God. Let me close just reading some of these last verses. And Paul now, he says this to these people, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is my prayer for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to us, according to the working of his might. This salvation is of the Lord. You see this? It's his calling. It's his inheritance. It's his power. It's his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet, given him to be the head over all things to the church. That's us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous chapter, magnifying the marvelous grace of our God.